before I forget that we got here this morning and your music team was just warming up and it was going down the hallway and I got the tingle bumps. And it always amazes me, your music team, I guess you're used to them? I'm not. That's a holy thing. It's a holy thing when they sing. And they were kind of, you know, adjusting, making change. It sounded great. I'm like, don't change anything. So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, come here today. Join us. Be present. Calm us. Open our ears. Thank you for this place. Thank you for all that you do. Things that you do that we don't even see. The places you are that we don't notice. You lift us. You're our rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of things before I start the message. I wanted to say, if you woke up this morning and your first thought was, oh no, there's a guest speaker, that's not a sin. That just means you're a certified, authentic Presbyterian. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. Message of grace. Starting off with grace. The other thing is I just wanted to say thank you very much to Billy for inviting us. Both George and I, we're very appreciative to be here. Billy and I have been through a few things. We know each other a little bit. Had some times of spiritual warfare that we've locked arms. Billy and his family and his beautiful family have always been a light for Christ, wherever they've been. So I'm so glad he's here, and he's part of your story too. And I will tell you that I will trust Billy with anything, at any time, anywhere, except one thing. I would never let Billy book me for a hotel when I travel. So if you're on the road with Billy, for any reason, do not let him book the hotel. You see signs that say condemned or closed by OSHA. Billy's eyes see different words. His eyes in neon sees the words bargain, good, budget friendly. No. I won't even go there. There's not enough time, but he's famous for a few of our classic road trips that we've had. Okay, let's dive in. What I want to do real briefly is just weave together this idea that Christmas is a very powerful pro-life, God is life message. And maybe because of the frenzy of the holidays, you tend not to think of it that way. We all get busy. If you look at the lyrics of the music and some of the songs that we've been sung this morning, God in flesh appearing, God is life, God comes to us and gives us life. Jesus was born in the flesh as a human child. And in order to introduce properly the message, to give you just the briefest of backgrounds, I just want to show you a picture of my own family. I'm not going to do this much more, but I just want you to see one shot. This is not a family reunion. This is not a statewide gathering of a church. This is my family. There's a grandma in there and a couple spouses, but you kind of get the idea. So when we have a holiday or something, and this is us just walking up Main Street of the town where we live, which is Ashland, Virginia. And, you know, you probably take a glance at that and you think, oh my, you know, how is that manageable? And I won't tell y'all, that's a whole nother sermon. But a couple things. One is I just wanted to share with you that my wife is the spiritual giant of our household. She's always the one that thinks God wants us to go here or support this or do more. And I'm the one who pushes back a little. We had a little adoption video that we did, and I said, she's the gas pedal and I'm the brakes, and I meant it. We first had three biological children, and when we did that, I said to her, this is a perfect family, honey. Three, the Trinity, the triune God. I'm trying to sell her that we're done. Then next thing I know, I wake up one morning, we have seven. So I'm like, okay, brakes on, honey. This is the number of creation. Seven, beautiful. Let's do this. No, I wake up one day, we have 12. So I I said, honey, even Jesus stopped at 12. And none of it worked. We have 13 now, so we have 10 adopted children from 6 different countries, and we have 3 biological kids, and it's just this big, interesting, multi-ethnic, multicultural, we got special needs, we have a blind child. It's all mixed together, but God has shown his hand through all of it. And I made that little joke at an adoption conference about Jesus stopped at 12. And afterwards, a guy came up to me with his Bible open, and I thought, oh no, here we go. And he said, I think you're joking, but you need to know that after Judas left, there was another disciple, and they cast lots, and it was Matthias, and you know the story. I looked up at heaven. I knew I was going to have 13. I knew that 12 thing wasn't going to work. So just sharing with you, though, that he came to us humbly. Jesus was born on earth humbly in flesh. So he put his stamp, he put his endorsement on the way that people come into this earth. He didn't have to. He could have come in, you know, with an army if the prophecies had supported it. He chose to be born, and Christians, we, the church, should be a voice for life. And don't let society, don't let the pounding drum of those around you, don't let the TV or the internet or anything slowly erode your staunch defense of all life. God is the author of life. He creates you. He made you. He made everyone around you. C.S. Lewis said that you have never met a mere mortal. You've met only eternal souls who will live forever. And that should be the way that we wake up each day. I worry often that even myself, that the message of life being disposable, maybe that life sometimes gets in the way of our worldly pursuits, will eventually prevail and weaken me. And I don't ever want that to happen. It's one of my daily prayers that it doesn't happen. And if you look at some of the song lyrics, Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. All of it makes the stunning claim that our Creator, the Creator of the universe and the galaxies, was born of flesh and he dwelt among us. So we have a quote to share with you from J.I. Packer. I kind of go on these Christian author binges, and I'm on my Knowing God by J.I. Packer binge right now. I read it every chance I get. I came across this, and it's referring to the incarnation. The really staggering Christian claim is that Jesus of Nazareth was God made man, that the second person of the Godhead became the second man, and that he took humanity without loss of deity, so that Jesus was as truly and fully divine as he was human. Apostle Paul, as you know, tells us that to make our bodies a living sacrifice. So that also means feeding your mind, supporting yourself with the right thoughts and doctrines so that the fads and the trends of the day are not able to defeat you. I want to tell you quickly a story about my friend Adam. My friend Adam is blind. My friend Adam was not born blind. He does not let his blindness, if you will, define him in any way. When he tells his life story to people, he puts it this way, and it's a little rough to hear the first time. He says, a stepfather came into my life, and this man was not a nice man. My stepfather shot me in the head when I was a teenager. Adam lost his sight. Adam struggled in a hospital for his life, and his mother was the one who constantly was trying to rally the medical people to stay by his side, to make sure that he was getting what he needed to try to cling on. Now Adam is part of our men's Bible study. He's a shining light for Christ. He witnesses every chance he gets. He's a classic example of how precious life can be. I'm not a big crying person, but I got an email from him a few days ago. He said he was with his wife down at the ocean, and he said, I see the glories of God in my mind, and I feel his presence when I listen to the ocean. And that hit me. I don't know, when I listen to the ocean, That's the way he phrased it. It's just so powerful. So Adam is an example of why we need to be a pro-life people to reflect the glory of God. Wanted to read a psalm for you. Psalm 139, and what I'm going to do is ask you to pretend you're Adam. So listen to these words as if you'd never heard them before. If you want to, close your eyes. I'm just going to read part of it. Actually, let the words sink deep as if it was new to you. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You searched out my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where will I go from your spirit? Where will I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day. The darkness is as light with you. For you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret place. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none. Have you thought of yourself as being knit together by God? That's how precious you are to him? A rough translation of that word comes out to be embroidered. It's a detail. It's a God's loving hands making every life and creating it and forming it. When he looks at a woman with child, he sees two people. You just heard music from George. I wanted to share with you the power of God's word. We went to meet George's biological parents, and it turns out that on our flight across the ocean to go to Romania to meet them, his parents had made the decision that they were not going to let George be adopted. We didn't know this. We were in flight. So when we got to the ground, the interpreter came up to us, and she was quite concerned. She said, "We got some troubles. We need to go out to the village where George's biological parents live and speak with them. They've decided that they don't want this adoption to occur." And it turns out that the villagers had been whispering in their ears that Americans are rich and they must have sick children and they must want to adopt George and bring him back to do things with him medically, or maybe one of their children needs a heart. They were actually telling George's parents all of these things, and they got to them. They got under their skin and they just decided, no, we're not going to even take a chance that our son would have this happen to them. So we go to meet George's parents in this Romanian village, and I'm trying to make them feel better, but I'm making them feel worse, but I don't know this. So I said, we're going to love him. We're going to bring him back. America's got beautiful hospitals. George was kind of sick at the time, and we were talking about medical things and resources and our home, and I was just trying to make them feel like he was going to go to a good place. My wife is silently standing there. My wife hands a Bible to George's biological mother. The Bible is written in Romanian. She had highlighted Psalm 139, especially the part where it talked about you knit me in the womb, you formed me. George's mother, I don't think, had ever seen a Bible before. She opens it up. She reads it to herself silently, stares at the words, and then she took the book and she hugged it like this. And she said, I'll hold these words to my heart forever until I die. And then they went off and they talked to each other and they came back and they said, you can adopt our son. And I learned a big lesson that day, which was God's word is a powerful weapon, and always resort to it first. Don't try to talk about things you can do or fancy stuff. God's word will get the job done. And it was a moment that we'll never forget. So George alluded to this when he did his song, but he said, think of yourself as adopted. I don't know if you do that. Do you? God has adopted you. He's brought you into his family if you're a Christian. He wants you to be with him forever at his table. He wants you to live in his home. He wants you to dine with him. He wants to give you new clothes, your spiritual clothing that's pure and holy. He's invited you to have eternal life at his table and to share in his inheritance forever, for eternity. And let that sink in. If you're ever anywhere and someone says, is there anyone here who's adopted? I want all of you to raise your hands, all right, in the future. And if you don't have that, if you're sitting here listening and maybe you're a guest or something, you can have that. Jesus offers it, eternal life with God the Father. So what I'd like to do now is remind you that God loves you. The God of life wants you to be in his family. He loves you.